Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. As soon as Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So for these past few Sundays, we've been reading from the beginning of the Gospel of St. Mark, the early stages of Jesus' ministry. He has announced the new realm, the new community. It is at hand. It has drawn near. The old way, communities of exclusion, communities of prejudice and discrimination, will be confronted with a new way, a way of welcome, a way of healing, a way of life, a way of service to others, a way of service to God. Jesus invites and calls for those who hears the word to receive a change of heart, a change of mind, a new way of living, a way of hope, a way of promise, a connection with the giver of life, the creator of life, a connection in faith and in trust. In our own story today, Jesus goes quickly about gathering those who are to be part, a traveling part, if you will, of this new way, the new community. Jesus and his disciples, his little group, are like leaven throughout the community, throughout Galilee, and as we are witnesses throughout the whole world. In reading these accounts, we too are invited to follow Jesus, to set aside old ways, to let Jesus change our hearts with his calling, with his commission, as it said in Paul's letter, his welcome, his invitation, and more, as we shall experience as we read through the story, as we draw to its conclusion, as it unfolds, especially at its ending. So, we are all called. We are all encountered. Perhaps you are like the man in the synagogue of whom we heard last week, overcome by thoughts or feelings that you cannot control, whether from within your own heart or imposed upon you from ill will and prejudice from the outside. Jesus encounters you with God's will for you to be free of those life-diminishing structures of death, of violent behavior towards others and toward yourself. Or perhaps you are like Simon's mother-in-law in today's lesson. Whatever the nature of her fever, she is unable to engage. She is on the bench, if you will. She's set aside, unable to engage in the blessed exchange of life and community, a kind of death. For Jesus, There is no more important action at that point than for him to restore this child of God to the community and to the realm of God. In St. Mark, everything is happening so quickly. It's urgent. Everything happens at once. Jesus' urgency for healing and hope, we gather today in the trust and faith and knowledge that it is for us as well, for you. Jesus is urgent to encounter you, to embrace your heart in forgiveness, in love, in calling. As soon as Jesus leaves the synagogue and the healing of the man, he rushes and enters Simon's house, at which time his disciples waste no time. Jesus' cadre of the new realm immediately tell Jesus of her need. Mark's whirlwind description of Jesus' activity underscores Christ's intention for us, his purposefulness, the devotion of Jesus to bringing the life of God's community to all people. And note, last week, Jesus healed the man with a spirit, a poor spirit, a bad spirit, and restored him to the realm of God. And immediately now restores a woman. That pattern recurs often in the Gospel of Mark. Restores a man, restores a woman. It is part of Jesus' ministry to embrace, to welcome, to invite, to call all men and women into the community of God. Notice that the language is that of resurrection. He takes her by the hand and raises her up to new life. The old fever is gone, and she begins to serve. Not in the sense of an old role in which women were bound to serve men, but recognizing that as Jesus himself says, "I came not to be served, but to serve," she takes up his very ministry, his very mission, his very discipleship that he calls her to. She takes up the action of the new realm of God, into which she is now called, into which she is now a disciple. So too, now Jesus is hurrying in to your life as fast as he can to raise you up from whatever fever has overcome you, to take your hand and to raise you up into new life with complete regard, to restore and call you to serve in the community of faith. Once again, you'll notice throughout the gospel, happened last week, happens this week, Jesus cuts off the false spirits from speaking about him. They claim to know Jesus, but do they really? Do they really know what he's about? They want attention and fame to be placed upon him. Remember that word came up last week. And most of us are ready to do so. It seems so often that the church even lifts Jesus up as a matter of a famous one, an extraordinary one. But Jesus has no time for fame, no heart for it either. He's in a hurry to help all who are in need. His heart is for you. Fame only subverts Jesus' purpose. It is a false authority, a false hope. Jesus is not oriented toward fame, for we know that he is journeying to something else, to the cross, where true recognition of who he is will come, which we will see as we journey in a few weeks toward the cross throughout Lent and to Easter, and to that centurion who finally understands who the Christ is. For this reason, for his own understanding of where he was going, how he was traveling, Jesus, it says, went to a lonely place, a deserted place, isolated to pray. This prayer foreshadows the very prayer that he will pray in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. When the disciples find him, Jesus has only one thought. It's not about fame. It's not about escape. "Let's go," he says, "to the neighboring towns, to the world, to the generations, to you, to me, That's why I came, not for fame, but for healing, for restoration, for calling, to save, to restore, to raise, to bring the new community of God throughout Galilee and into the whole world. But already, immediately, to use Mark's words, there are intimations, there are hints that his encounters, his journey, his destination will be cruciform. For we all, along with his disciples, those closest to him, will misunderstand. We'll follow our self-willed desires, our feverish desires. We'll be unable to serve wholeheartedly. And so upon the cross, everything will be revealed. All will be healed. Jesus will bear the fever, the sin of all, and give the healing power of forgiveness for our deepest failings and call us to our deepest service. In this forgiveness, in this calling, we will confess and surely say with Jesus, "Let us go," to our sisters and brothers, so that we may proclaim the message there also, as St. Paul did. For that is what Jesus calls us out to do. Amen.